Okay, good morning.
Morning.
Good to see you all. Good to be in church together. Have you ever had a little box, and they were called, I forget the name, but bread of life or promises? You know, a little box of promises, you take one, daily promises, you take one. Wait, did you have that? Yeah, I had that, and I about once every 2 years, I would pull one out and look at it, but I never used it, you know, I just never did. But I had one, and it's full of promises. And it's called, you know, the daily promise, and because there's things that God promised you, and good things that he promised you, and good things that he calls you. But there is one promise that you never find in those things. They're not in there. And that's the promise that offenses will come. That's the promise that you're going to be offended. It's going to happen. Jesus said that. He said that. In fact, down there in your notes in Luke 17, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses would come. It's impossible. You're going to be offended. Now, you just got to know that and not be surprised. Not be all bent out of shape because you're offended by people. In fact, you know what Jesus said? I mean, a lot of times we're looking for the perfect people and they won't offend us. You know what Jesus said about us? Blessed are those who are not offended by me. Jesus said that. And he was saying in the context of John the Baptist inquiring about him, and he was in prison, and Jesus said he must have known it was a bad situation, and John the Baptist says, are you really the Christ? Are you really? And that's the question that he sent his friends to go ask him. And Jesus told him, you know, basically that yes, he is. But he didn't say this, I'm reading into it, but I'm not going to set you free. In fact, you're going to have your head cut off. Blessed are those who are not offended by me. I mean, there's just things in life that you might be offended by God, by Jesus, by people. I was surprised, and I was young in the ministry. When I found out some people who I considered friends, but I offended them. And I was surprised by that because, you know, I'm the pastor and I'm full of love and I don't offend people. Why are you laughing? Yeah. And now let me ask you something. Now be honest with me, and I want you to be part of this, and I want you to answer me. The question, how many of you have offended someone? Let me see your hand. Okay, is there anybody that didn't put their hand up? Yeah, no, that's part of life. It's just the way life is. It just happens. But what do you do with it? That is the thing that's going to make the difference in your life, what you do about offenses. Now, we are in the middle or at the end, excuse me, at the end of Colossians. And I keep prolonging this at the end of Colossians. But it says there in Colossians, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which bring them all together in perfect unity. Now, so he tells us to forgive. Why would he tell us that we need to forgive? Because we get offended. Now, there you go. So you have the answer now. Make sure you forgive every time you get offended. Okay, make sure. The problem is people don't. When you look in the Bible, I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about Joseph, who was actually one of my favorite. I just cannot believe the guy. And the things that he went through, he was faithful to God. in the rejection, he was always faithful to God. It was like he lived this perfect life. No, he didn't, but it was like he lived this perfect life. And things didn't stick to him, or unforgiveness. That's what what unforgiveness does? Things stick to you. They stick to you. And if you have unforgiveness, more things stick to you. You can't forgive, you can't have unforgiveness in one matter when you were a child and something happened and think that, okay, nothing's going to happen. No, you will go through the rest of your life, more and more things sticking to you. Where I've literally heard people say, I don't like to be around people, they bother me. And what has happened to that old guy? Things in his life have stuck to him. Well, Joseph, things didn't stick to him. He was abused, but his brothers, there was something. I mean, they sold him into slavery. Listen, they plan on killing him. What had happened to them? Same parents, same dad, same faith, same calling, same faith, same family, same faith. Now, I say that purposely. They have the same faith, but here, something went awry in them. They were offended by their brother. They were probably jealous. And that a lot of offenses come because you're jealous over things or envious. And so they were bothered because dad was showing favoritism. And it's probably not a good thing to do, dads and moms, to show favoritism to any of your children. But that's what it looked like. It was taking place. Now, he loved them all, but Joseph was so special. Well, he made him a coat, and then Joseph, in his stupidity, tells him about a dream that God gives him and that he's going to rule over them. Oh, that really offended him. That just bothered him so much. And so what did they do? They plot to kill him. And then one of the brothers says, "Nah, let's don't kill him. Hey, there's some people from Egypt. Let's sell him into slavery." And so they sold their brother into slavery. It's because they had been offended. They had a root of bitterness in their life. They had things that stuck to them, and they made horrible decisions. Now, you got to understand, that's what you're going to do when you have a root of bitterness. When you have something in your life where things are sticking to you, and you got this ugliness in your heart, things are going to stick, and you're going to make bad decisions as time goes through life. So we need to be careful. You know what the Bible says about that? About your heart? I have that in this one of the scriptures, Proverbs 4:23. Listen to this. Above all else, guard your heart. It's so important. And it's so important that you don't allow things to offend you, because it's going to affect your heart. Guard your heart. Be careful. Be careful, you that are going through horrible rejection. I've told Amber, you know, and through the divorce and stuff, that she's going to guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because listen to what it says. Above all else, it's in your notes, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. If you have a heart that's impure, a heart that has things stuck to it, that you're bothered and irritated and angry, and it's building up inside of you, it's going to take you down a path that will mess your life up. And so we need to somehow learn to forgive. Well, there in Luke, in your notes, Luke 17, I want to read this. Then he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for them if a millstone were hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of the little ones." Now, I think one of the little ones that he's talking about is the weak Christian. Not just the new born Christian, but the weak. frail Christian. A newborn is weak and frail. But there's some Christians that you've known been in the faith for a long time, and they're still weak and frail. And we need to help the weak and love the weak and carry the weak along in their stupidity. I mean, in their direction. Oh, why do I offend people? I don't know. So those offenses are going to come, and try to be one of those people that you don't offend. You will offend, but be careful with those who are weak in the faith. Be careful with that, because God is going to deal with you. Anyone that takes after and offends the little ones. Now, did I say weak in faith? Did I tell you that? Those who are weak in faith, did I tell you that? And so let me tell you who those are, because I know exactly who they are. All of us. You think you're so strong. Oh, let me tell you, the right thing come along, and it's going to knock you off your feet. We think we're so strong in our faith. I mean, I could say, yeah, I believe in God. I'm going to follow him. When we sing some of those songs, I'm going to give my life to him. I'm going to give everything. And then something goes haywire, and I just, all that stuff in me that was driven and powerful, and it's just like, ooh. I remember such a time that happened, and it took me a year to get over it. Yeah, unforgiveness. And it was after church, someone said something to me that just absolutely devastated me. And I went home. When I was preaching, I was like, you know, I'm getting them. They told me that, I went home like this. If I had a tail, it'd be between my legs. And I went home, and I just sat on the couch. And just so down and depressed, I'm offended. I call in the girls, come sit on my lap, because at least they like me, you know, a little bit. And I hug on them, and they're wondering, what's wrong with Dad? He's, oh, Sunday afternoon, he takes a nap at this time. What's he doing? Now, let me tell you, we're weaker than we'd like to admit. But listen to what he says. Now he says, a millstone around their neck, be thrown in the sea. It should be better than one, and those who offend one of these little ones. Then he says, this is very interesting. He says, take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. And then he just says some things that doesn't make sense unless you've meditated a lot and you've thought it through. It just doesn't seem to fit. And let me read it to you. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times seven in a day, or seven times in a day, and seven times in a day return to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, now those that were hearing this, those disciples that were hearing what was going on, listen to what they said, increase your faith. Now I got to tell you, I've read that so many times, and I just, when I don't understand, you know, when you're reading the Bible, you want to get through it. And so I'm reading to get through it, and I don't understand that, but it didn't make any difference. My five chapters almost done. So you go through that. I know how some of you operate. I mean, how can you read five chapters? Well, never mind. And so but I've thought about this, and I've thought about this for years, actually. And then in the sixth verse it says, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Must be a mistake there because it says if you have faith of a mustard seed. I thought he said you can remove the mountain. If you didn't say that, doesn't say that here though, does it? It says a mulberry tree. And it says, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea or thrown in the sea. Very significant in what he's saying there in the topic that we're on. You're going to be offended. There's going to be things in your life, but you can't allow those things to stick to you. Because if it does, it will ruin you. Let me read this scripture real quickly. This is found in Hebrews 12 and verse 15. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Now listen to this. That no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. And so he says, hey, what's going to happen to you if you don't forgive? There's going to be a root. Remember the root that the mulberry tree, the root, okay? The root, there's in unforgiveness, there's a root that begins to go deep into us, into our heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart from any unforgiveness. There's a root that goes deep. And I wish I could. I thought about doing this. You know, get Velcro and have a vest made of Velcro. I was thinking about doing this. I think it would be so cool, and I wish I had. But I'm lazy. And so a vest of Velcro, and then you have different things that you stick on it. Because what happens if you have unforgiveness, things are going to stick on you. So if you have a root of bitterness, it doesn't matter where it came from, things are going to start sticking on you. Like if you play basketball, and the ref calls a foul on you, and you didn't foul. And so what happens? You're angry. And you just add another little sticker on you. That anger, that unforgiveness that you have produces something else in you. And that's why the anger comes up. And so it sticks on you. And then you go and you're driving along and someone pulls in front of you. And you yell, you idiot! Another thing sticks on you. And then what happens, you get this root of bitterness and you have all these things on you, and you're just going through life upset about everything. Everything bothers you. People bother you. Anything they say, if it doesn't match up to how you view things and how what you've experienced in life, well, they don't know what they're talking about. And you just have this attitude that you go through life that you're bothered by so many things. It's because you're just sticky. You're just sticky, and you got this stuff sticking on you. You got a root of bitterness. You know what Jesus, he sent the disciples out. You know what he told them to do? If you go into a village and they accept you, put a blessing on them. But if they don't, then just wipe off the dust off your feet. Don't let anything stick on you. Let nothing stick on you. Now, how are we going to take care of that? Because obviously, we get offended. Obviously, we're bothered by things. And so we need to make sure that those, when the offenses come, that they don't stick on us. And it's hard to do if you have that root of bitterness. If you have a root of bitterness in your life, you need to get on your knees and beg God's forgiveness. If you're just negative about things, everything that goes along in life, you're just irritated about things and bothered about things, man, I'm telling you, you need to get on your knees. Now, I understood this. Remember when I said I went home and I was so deflated, I was so down, I was so bothered and hurt? I knew the danger of unforgiveness because I saw it in my pastor. And I saw it, how it ruined his ministry. And I was scared. I was unforgiving and almost hateful. Well, I shouldn't say hateful. I just wanted them to hurt like I hurt. Now, that's when unforgiveness happens to us. When you have unforgiveness, you want them to hurt like you're hurting. You want to strike out at them and have them feel a little taste of what you're feeling. Well, listen, you don't need to do that. Let me go back to what we read. When people offend you, and especially those in the world, and they hate you and they do mean things to you, you don't need to do anything to them. God said he would. That's what he talked about. He said he would take care of them. He would deal with it. In fact, remember when James says that God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? That's what he's talking about. You don't strike out at them. You let God deal with all those things. God's sovereign. God's the one. Now, remember in Luke when they said, increase our faith? That's what needs to happen here. You're hurt, and you want to deal with it and strike out at them. No, wait. Yeah, pull back here. Pull back. God's going to take care of that. Why do you want to take care of it? Let me tell you what happens if you try to take care of it. God removes his hand from them. Go ahead. He says to you, go ahead and go against my word and go against my principles. Go against what I say. Go ahead and hurt them, and you're on your own. And there's no grace of God in your life when you do that. And a root of bitterness begins to come deep. That's why your faith needs to increase. You need to believe in God. You need to have faith in him. You need to, that he's going to take care of things that you need to preserve yourself. Let God preserve you. You don't need to take care of yourself. Let God take care of yourself. Take care of you. And God will take care of them. Now, I come to a point here, though, because I don't want you to think that you're just a wet noodle, that people can just whip you around. I don't want you to think that you're just someone that someone can beat up on. No, not at all. Going back to Luke again, did you catch what he said? Take heed to yourself. Now think about yourself. If your brother sins against you, or let me put it this way, if your brother offends you, if your brother offends you, so those who are in faith, those who believe in God, those who come together to church and you're close to, okay, if they offend you, and then he says, rebuke him. If your brother offends you, rebuke him. Oops. So I got to be involved here a little bit. If someone sins against me, if someone... you remember when we got into Colossians, this portion of it, we said these things are to be worked out in family relations, husband and wife and the children, and I'm going to talk about and maybe husband and wife, and in the workplace, those are perfect places that these things be worked out. The places that come in to deal with it. So if your husband or your wife offend you, you can deal with it. See, you don't have to be a wet noodle. And what happens when you're offended? Something happens inside of you. Emotion begins to rise up. You become bothered, irritated, and angry. Now, another reason why I know that's what happens is because I offend my wife all the time. And you can look on her face, and she's frustrated with me. Now, when I was a ditz, I would say to her a long time ago, is it your time of month? Yeah, now that's pretty dumb. Husbands, that's dumb. And I'm sure your wife will take care of you if you say things like that. Because you offended her, and what you're saying to her is what you have to say really doesn't apply to me because I wouldn't offend anyone, or I wouldn't hurt you, or I am just, you don't need to correct me, that's your own problem. But remember, in relationships, there's going to be this, and it is the good thing. You just don't get mean. Now, when I offend my wife, She rebukes me. And it doesn't take long for her to do that. She doesn't stew over it. She doesn't think about it. She just says, David, you're being a jerk now. Now, that's probably something nice he would say. No, I'm kidding. No, she's careful with her words. She uses nice words, except maybe once or twice. But he said, okay, if your brother offends you, if you're sin, then you deal with it. Now, there's something that happens to us when we're offended. Emotion begins to rise up. Boys, I want you to listen to me, okay? I want you to listen because this is something you're going to have to learn. And because you don't want to offend me right now. Because God told me to do something when I'm offended. Rebuke you. Now, it's interesting, that word that he uses. Now, it's not what you think. Because when we hear that word, we think of a harshness. And we think of going after them. And no, that's not why you don't go after them. But there is this emotion that begins to rise up when you're offended. Maybe hurt, but emotion. Being bothered, maybe irritated, frustrated. And I think we could put it all into one word, you become angry. You become angry. You remember what we studied last week? It said slow to anger. Now, it didn't say don't be angry, but slow to anger. And what that means is the things that bother you, you don't let it build up to explosion, because the next word in the Greek that is used, you have anger, which is more of an attitude, and then you have the blow up. You have the striking out. You have the wrath. You want to hurt the person when you get like that. So he says, be slow to angry. Slow to anger. So you're getting angry. This is happening to you. And you're slow to anger because you don't want to sin. Another scripture I'm going to give you, and I have it in your notes there. Listen to this. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth to your neighbor. He's talking about relationships here. Now listen to what he says. For we are members of one body. Be angry and do not sin. So you're going to get angry. It's going to happen to you. You're going to be bothered. That emotion is going to rise up, but you're going to get slow to anger. If you let it peak, if you let it rise up and not deal with it, then you're going to have temper. And this is what a lot of marriages do. They're bothered by something, but they've been taught that you don't argue, maybe, or what they have seen the parents do is they just walk away. And they leave until finally they feel better. And that's probably a good thing to do. They feel better and that anger subsides and everything's okay. But they never deal with the issue. And so there's residue that is there from that frustration. And so that residue, and if they're that type of personality where they don't deal with the anger because they're offended, they're bothered, and they don't deal with the anger, then it begins to build up. And then at one point, it's going to be the explosion, and the spouse will go, my God, help me, where'd that come from? I don't deserve that. And now you've offended them. And what happens in the marriage is they start building up, and then you're striking out at each other because you never dealt with the problem. And you're now on a level of a bitterness and anger. And then in the marriages, they'll say things like, I just don't love them anymore. You know, I found another man or another woman. I just don't love them anymore. Listen. We need to grow up as Christians. There needs to be somehow we need to figure out how to forgive, and you got to deal with the anger. Now, it says here, and I want to mention this because you might think, it says here in the fourth verse, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day return to you, saying, I repent, you'll forgive him. Now, Jesus is saying, hey, if they repent, forgive them. And so we like that because this is what we say. Well, if he doesn't repent, I don't have to forgive him. That's not what he's saying. I'm just telling you right now, that's not what he's saying. When he gives us the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. One of the incredible things that God has done in our life is that he has forgiven us. And so we in turn to forgive other people as well. Now, let me tell you why it's important that you forgive. Remember he said that we need to guard our heart in Proverbs? For it will affect your whole life. It will affect everything, so guard your heart. And this has to do with forgiveness. You need to be so careful in your heart to forgive other people, because if you don't, there's going to be things that are going to stick to you, and it's just going to mess your life up. And I've seen it. I saw it when my pastor, and I was so afraid of that, and God helped me through that unforgiving attitude. And there's some misnomers about forgiveness. Well, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. And they say that with that look on their face. Well, no, they haven't forgiven. And then they'll say things like, no, I can't forgive him because I can't trust him. Two different things, trust and forgiveness. Trust and forgiveness. Do you remember in Colossians how he put it? He said, put on forgiveness. Put on forgiveness. Now, let me tell you what we do as Christians too much. And especially if you're, and this is my background, especially if you're Pentecostal. Now, I just offended some of you, or I'm going to offend you. I'm just telling you what happens. Sometimes what we do as Christians is we live our life on emotions, and we call it being led by the Lord. And so we make a lot of decisions, not by the Spirit of God, but because it feels right. Big mistake. You can't go by feeling. Feelings will always let you down. Oh, by the way, anger is a feeling. And it's a bad feeling. It's a negative feeling. And so you have to deal with slowed anger. Go ahead and be angry, but don't sin. Okay, now, so how are you angry and not sin? That's where, if the right situation, you go to the person and you deal with it if they've offended you. I can think of so many situations that people have come to me and talked to me how I offended them. And some were righteous, and they were angry at me. Some were righteous. Others were unrighteous. And I used to go by just approach. If you came humbly talking to the pastor, then I'll receive what you have to say. But if you come with an attitude, you're going to get an attitude back. And it's amazing how many people live by that instead of by what the Word of God says. That's living by emotion instead of by truth and by faith. Oh, do you remember he said, remember what he said? They asked him, increase our faith, increase our faith. Such a key to what he's saying here in the relationship and the anger. Increase our faith, increase our faith. Because, see, our faith needs to be in God, not in my hurt, not in my pain. God, what are you doing in my life? What can I do different? What is there? And so I've had instances where people have come and they were just spot on. And I may be okay. And so I can't tell any details. And so I remember when Carrie came to me. Dad, and she was angry. Dad, I need to talk to you. What? Why are you so upset? Dad, this is why I'm frustrated with you. And we went through the thing, and you know she was absolutely right. I remember one time that Shelley did that to me, since she's here. And she said, Pastor Dave, she didn't say this, but this is what she meant. I'm angry with you. She was shaking as she was telling me, probably because I'm such a powerful person. And so she told me, and I apologized. And I never did it again. What kind of person are you? when it comes to those things. You need to guard your heart. And if there's something that is powerful in your life, your spouse, something that has demeaned you, that have put you down, you need to go to him and talk to him about it. And if he cannot receive it, now be careful, be slow to anger though. Don't have a temper. Once you get on the level of a temper and you're spouting off and you're just striking out, all it's going to do is rise up in them. Be slow to anger. So if you are angry, don't sin. Don't take it to a level, but think it out, what you're saying, what you want. You want to help that person how to treat you correctly. And let me tell you, you need that. You need to do that. If you don't, things will begin to stick on you. Begin to stick. That doesn't mean every time that you're offended that you have to go to someone. I'm not saying that. If you're the type of person that every time someone talks, you get offended by something because they're... I have a thought that I do not want to say. Turn around. If you're offended by something, I would have just offended half of you. Anyway, if you're offended by something and you're constantly, all the time, then you probably have a root of bitterness. And things that happen in your life and you're just bothered and you become hateful and irritated. Oh, you can't believe, look at this, the sun's shining and I was hoping it was going to rain today. Let me tell you, people are like that. Now, you know, we love the rain and we love the sun and we love Oregon, we love Salem. I mean, you look out and see the green and stuff. I mean, how can you not make you happy and pull you up? But there's some people even probably here, oh, that sun, oh. Oh, it's raining again. Oh, I'm just getting so tired of this. And there's this stuff that builds up and builds up. And you're just a cranky old man or old woman. And you need to recognize that. And you need to get over yourself. Oh, did I say yourself? Oh, Lord, increase our faith so that we can trust in you, so that our eyes will be on you. So someone comes to you, and what do you do with it? You evaluate. There's sometimes I'll say, hey, let me think about that. Because let me tell you, I want to please people. That's kind of my nature. But I also don't want to kid around on stuff. And if there's something that I don't know, if what they're saying is right, I'll probably say, either I'll probably disagree and tell them, or I'll say, let me think about that. You might have something here that I need to. But don't allow things to stick in your heart. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an emotion. And people make a huge mistake thinking, Well, I don't forgive him because I don't like him. Well, then you probably haven't forgiven. But forgiveness is not an emotion. What we learned, Pam and I learned when we were so hurt, we learned that forgiveness is not an emotion. He said, put on forgiveness. Now, it might not be an emotion yet, but emotion will come if you begin to put it on. Let me explain that. If there's someone that you don't like, that you're bothered with, if you just ease up to them and you start doing kind things to them and they offend you and they bother you and you begin to do things in kindness and caring and you forgive them and you start doing, all of a sudden there's something that begins to happen to you that is only a miracle of God. You begin to love them. And that was the end of the paragraph. Now put on love, which will bring everything together. So you can't start with the emotion. And like I said, most of us, or many of us, that's what we do. If we don't feel something, it's not God. Or if we don't feel, I'm sinful and wrong. Here's how you deal with forgiveness. Forgiveness is not hurting the person who hurts you. And that's what we want to do. Forgiveness is not striking out at the person that struck out at you. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." In the history of man, we turned our back upon God. But what did God do? For God so loved the world that he gave. Was he not bothered by the sin? Absolutely. I mean, read your Bible. Go to the Old Testament and you'll get a good picture. He's bothered by what's going on. But he did something of kindness, of love, of caring. And now he looks at Jesus, looks through Jesus to see you, and he sees nothing but beauty. Nothing but a saint. Nothing but glorious. If you have unforgiveness, you start doing for that person. You start going to that person and loving them. You don't go by how you feel. Let me say it again. You don't go by how you feel. Feelings will always mess you up. You go by the truth. Jesus, in Luke, he's giving them truth here, and he's telling them, and emotions will bring down faith. And that's why they said, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith, and he gives them truth. And he tells them how to deal with some of these things. You go to the person. Oh, you know, I didn't finish the statement. You read there, we ought to, people look for someone to say, forgive me before you forgive them. Listen, you don't want to be like that because then they hold you hostage. You just want to forgive. If you have unforgiveness, that person that you have unforgiveness for, that you're waiting for them to come to you so you can forgive them, they've got you hostage. And let me tell you, they're not worth it. If I can put it that way, they're not worth to hold you hot. Forgive them and go on with your life. If they owe you money and they haven't paid you back, forgive them. Forgive them. You shouldn't be, you know, you went against Scripture anyway. You shouldn't be lending money out. Now, it's okay to give people money. And if they say that they'll pay you back, then that's fine. If they do, if they don't, no big deal. You're giving it to them. I can't tell you how many people have come to this church asking for money. Walking in, driving in after church and during the week. And almost every one of them says, "We'll pay you back. We'll send. What's your address?" And after a while I learned, they don't send you the money. It just never happens. So I just start, "No, don't worry about it. You can have it. You know, if you come into a lot of money, then send a little my way. You know, I'll make a joke out of it." Just forgive people. Don't wait for them to do something. There's some people who people are dead and they're still not forgiving them. And their life is ruled by that. You know, if you were abused as a child, if something horrible has happened to you as a child, you need to move on. And there's some people, they're later in age, and that thing that happened to them still rules their life. It still dominates their thinking. Now listen. That person that has done something evil to me, that's on them, and God says, "I will deal with them." But if I carry it down 20 and 30 years later, that's on me, not on them. Would you hear that? I just looked at the clock. I haven't even got to the children. And that's why I started this sermon. Yeah. So forgiveness is not an emotion, but you put on forgiveness. That means you start doing things as if you've forgiven them in your heart. You start doing things, you don't pay them back. Great lessons to kids. My daughters, And usually my wife, every once in a while my wife would hear it. My daughters didn't hear me complaining about people. Well, maybe there was one, but normally they didn't hear Pam and I complaining about people and people who are stupid. People who are weak in their faith. People who offend. People who don't. They didn't hear any about any of that. But what they did hear is, oh, so-and-so left the church. Hey, let's pray for them. That God's blessing would be upon them. And God, see, now I didn't feel like that. When they left the church, they hurt me, and I wanted them to fail. And I can remember my pastor saying, if you leave here, no, this is what he said. Something happened in a home. I think it was a marriage breakup. And he said, if you had never left our church, that wouldn't have happened to you. Do you know how bad that is? That's just terrible. If you say things in mean spirit toward other people, to your children, they're just going to gather that in. And then you will teach them to have unforgiveness. You will teach them to grow up in bitterness. You will teach them in a way that's not of the Lord and not of faith, but just of emotion. Forgiveness and kindness and all those other attributes is not emotion. It's a decision that you make. And when you begin to make those decisions, that time I told you about Pamela making the decision, we cooked pies for the guy liked a certain pie. We made a pie for him and gave it to him. And you know, we wanted to put poison in it, but I told Pam, no, we can't do that. So, you know, but you felt that way. Again, it's forgiveness is not emotion. No, you show kindness to them. You do good for them. You love them. And then something happens that is so God. The next thing you know, you don't know the day, you don't know the hour, you don't know when it happened, but all of a sudden there's something in you that wells up in love toward them, that you totally have forgiven them, and you feel the emotion of that. And when something goes wrong in their life, you're totally broken over it, and you feel terrible about it. If you're glad that evil happens to someone that offended you, you don't have forgiveness. You haven't gained the emotion of forgiveness yet. It will come if you do the good things toward them, if you don't strike back. And that is especially true in marriage. It is okay for my wife to say to me, when I roll my eyes when she asks me a question about the computer, and I kind of, and I roll my eyes like this, and it just ticks her off. It's okay to her say, you're just being arrogant, David, right now. Oh, I know. And I know, Pam. Like, you know. Oh, man, I hate to quit. But guess what? We're done. Jason, what song did you have?
That wasn't a great one.
Oh, it wasn't a great one. Okay, let's stand. I'm sorry to do this. I've been told by so many that I shouldn't do it like this, that I should have music and singing, and so I've offended a few of you. Practice what I preached today. Father, we are so grateful for your forgiveness toward us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't let anything stick on you. But you have nothing but love and care toward us, even in our failures. That when we are unfaithful, that you are still faithful. When we don't show love, you still show love and mercy, and those mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord. Bless as we go today. May your hand be upon us. May the words that have been spoken go deep into our brain and deep into our heart, that we might not sin against you, Lord, your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.